Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or just need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action. For a great value, we all have the SeatGeek app on our phones. It's by far the easiest way we have found to shop for tickets. It can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, instantly find seats. In fact, I think one of us might actually be using SeatGeek to go to a game next week. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, fantasy-focused baseball listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase, so just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
I almost passed out a few times, but it was worth it.
You don't genuinely love sweating, I hope.
I do.
Wow.
Compared to freezing, and I'll take sweating a million
any
times.
Day.
Oh,
nope.
My God.
I could live in this.
Nope.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful and hot Thursday morning, July 5th, 2018, just the way I like it, hot and steamy. Hope everyone had a safe and enjoyable Independence Day. I am Eric. He is Tristan. We have the normal crew today. Awesome researcher Kyle Soppy, editorial watchdog Leo Howe, and producer Anthony Kaladayud. Different answers pre-show on whether you would rather live in 90-degree weather all the time or 30-degree weather, and I think you guys are nuts. I love this heat, and Soppy does too.
Oh, yeah.
We're normal.
Nobody loves this heat. Everybody complains about heat.
No, I don't. Everybody?
Yes.
I sat on my hammock for 4 hours yesterday, like just bringing in that heat, sweating, and I didn't even get that tan. It didn't matter. I like being outside.
I think you may be the only person I talk to who does not bring up, oh, the heat, oh, the weather when it gets over 90
yeah.
degrees.
Oh, I love it.
Everybody I run into whines about it. We always whine about extreme temperatures. Everybody does it.
Yeah, Anthony was trying to play the middle ground and saying, like, oh, I just want it to be 72. Who doesn't? Yeah. Everyone wants it to be 72.
Yeah,
that's literally
on.
The perfect number.
Yeah, like, I like burgers. I mean, come on. Oh, big surprise.
How many hot dogs could you eat right now? Did you watch the hot dog contest?
I did. I can't do that, and that makes me even like them even less. You know me in hot dogs.
I don't understand you in hot dogs, but, like, basically you hate mustard, right? You refuse to eat mustard?
Well, I actually don't like hot dogs. I don't like the generic hot dogs.
I like
the Italian sausages, Polish sausages, you know, any different variety.
It's so weird. I mean, we say that all the time on this show, but anyway, so the rest of the normal people. So you're watching the hot dog contest, and my wife's watching, and she's like, I'm not having a hot dog later today. Like, I was going to grill.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, give me one. Like, who doesn't have the discipline? I'm not going to eat 60 of them in 10 minutes. I'm going to eat one or two.
They're dipping it in water. You're going to dip the bun in water and then shove it in your mouth and eat it chewing it three times?
Everything you see on television, you act that way? No. Give me a break.
But that's my role model. Look, the TV's right there. I mean, right now it's telling me to buy a car. You know, I mean, I guess I better do that.
I kind of want to go to the hot dog eating contest and just sit down and, like, pull out ketchup and mustard from my pockets and just, like, chill and enjoy some hot dogs. Like, I'll probably get through, like, three or four, but, like, I just want to be on stage doing that. Like, sitting next to Joey Chestnut as he's, like, dunking them in water and, like, eating an ungodly amount, and I'm just chilling, enjoying, because, like, they're probably pretty good hot dogs. Nathan hot dogs are all right. Like, not a sponsor. They're all right, but, you know.
They should be, and send me some free ones.
That'd be entertaining. I'd love that if somebody just got up there, you know, kick their feet up on the table, relaxed. How awesome would that be?
That is so much fun to watch that show. And,
look,
it doesn't make me want to eat 1,000 hot dogs. Oh, yeah, I ate one and a hamburger. How many hamburgers did you have, Leo? Two?
Two whole hamburgers. I
can't believe the number he ate, though. Oh, man. Yeah, so you eat two and he eats, what, 72 it was?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
But hey, that's hot dogs,
yeah. Hey, to be good at something like that, you know, we should all be so lucky to be like that.
I'm so disappointed I missed the streak pick on that one. Ugh.
Easy, you have to take the over. Nobody's betting the under.
Taken the under. That's just nuts.
70.5.
Goodness. Vegas had it 71.5, so you're getting the hot dog equity there.
There you go. That's why Soppy's here.
Yes.
All right, later on the show, Soppy will tell us the questions you want answers to other than hot dogs. Right now, it's time for the buzz. Oh, what should we start with today? I guess the Yankees are interesting because of the injury to their second baseman Gleyber Torres. It's a right hip strain placed on the disabled list. We'll see a lot more of Neil Walker. I thought about leading my blog today with this, and then I thought this is no big deal. Like they're so good, and Neil Walker will just bat eighth or ninth, and Torres will be back probably 2 weeks from tomorrow when the All-Star break resumes for the Yankees. This seems like no big deal to me. Basically, you have to go a week without Gleyber Torres.
It's really, I mean, you've got to fill the spot for 10 days, and he's going to be held out through the All-Star game. And actually, I find the most frustrating part here is that in the ESPN Standard Leagues where you've got that week and a half thing, you're not going to be able to start Torres for it because we include those days after the All-Star break in this upcoming scoring period.
Is that right?
Yeah, we do. I'm looking at it in our office league right now, July 9th to 22nd.
Oh, okay. Do you think Neil Walker's worth an ad?
No.
Okay.
If it's an AL-only league, I mean, and I'm not, well,
he's
actually
owned in an AL-only league.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, probably, although he has performed pretty terribly.
He has
this
been,
year.
But, like, everybody is rostered in AL or NL-only league. I mean, every week, you know, I have the most money to spend in Fab dollars in NL labor, which I'm not going to win. There's a guy that's been winning by 20 points all season long since the first week, which is amazing. Like, basically, it was over after the first week. And I've got all this money, and I'm thinking, well, I could buy this guy. He might bat five times this week. There's never anything available to add. I'm just waiting for trades now. I'm hoping Machado comes over right. And I'll get him, assuming nobody else can.
You have a lot of fab?
I have the most.
You have the most? Okay,
yeah,
good.
You didn't hear that 30 seconds ago because you don't listen. But yes, that's
I'm counting my number of days and the players so I can replace Torres in my labor league. I got good excuses. I've got them all prepared.
The point is, like, Neil Walker's already rostered in AL only. So there's
Drury. How about Drury?
You know, they say they're going to play Walker, right? And Drury will be like a platoon first baseman. Bird isn't hitting lefties at all.
Mm-hmm. But no. I do think that gives an opportunity for maybe on Walker's days off for Drury to get a game here or there. And I wonder whether maybe an AL-only team has let him go because he was in the minor leagues, didn't look like there was a path to any playing time. There's nothing here.
There's nothing there. I think it's a bigger deal that, well, maybe not. Tyler Skaggs of the Angels, who hasn't been the picture of health in his career, but has pitched really well this season, has an adductor strain. But the Angels say he's only going to miss one start, which is kind of odd. I mean, like, the All-Star break's next week. Like, why wouldn't you give him an extra week off, you know? Like I think Phillies could have pushed Vince Velasquez to push, like, next week. But they're like, the All-Star break's coming up. Why bother? So I think people – and you're going to see some strange transactions, I think, next week as well. Teams demoting guys to single A, mostly starting pitchers, not because they're bad or because they don't like them, but because they don't need them to start that week, and they want to get keep them on schedule. Like I don't know, like Nick Kingham types. He's not the best example, but a young guy. Like maybe Shane Bieber that happens with, you know, like guys like that.
If they pitch, especially during the middle of next week, that's going to be a big thing for types like that. So, I mean, Bieber's lined up for late in the week for that, but the guys midweek, I mean, you might see Tyler Mahle, who pitches midweek.
Yeah, we're already finding pitchers that might start Sunday, thus they can't start in the All-Star game. This ridiculousness, yep. I can't stand this. We'll find out Sunday, by the way. Check out ESPN for all the players that will be going to the All-Star game, and then half of them will be replaced by other players because they either don't want to play or they have a minor injury or they're pitchers, this whole thing. And then each team needs a representative. I might write about it. I mean, I think I'll watch the All-Star game. I think it's interesting, can be interesting, but it's not something that should count for anything, and it doesn't anymore. But back to Skaggs. Trust or not trust?
Based on him and the team saying that it's one start, I'll lean towards trust.
Were you investing anyway?
Kind of. I mean, at this point, yeah, I kind of was. I mean, I'm always going to remember the injury history for him, but I'm leaning towards he's a go. But that's another guy where the chance that the Angels just say, hey, let's play conservatively, bring him back after the break, and then we won't know where he lines up in that rotation. I think a lot of teams also coming out of the break are going to attempt to push back guys who are on the DL to the last spot in the rotation, which could end up being the following week. You might get zero out of Skaggs if you start him in our ESPN leagues. That's the only place where I'd really be skeptical.
Tyler Skaggs or Rich Hill, who would you rather roster the rest of the season?
Oh, jeez.
I'm fed up
with Hill.
Can you believe that? Fed up. You should have been fed up with him 2 months ago.
I've been saying it for 2 months now.
He slides head first and hurts his neck tightness, leaves the game after five reasonable innings. He pitched well. He can pitch really well. He just doesn't pitch enough. You really think Rich Hill's starting next week? He's got to go in the DL, right?
I mean, on our grid, I mean, on the MLB page's grid, he's not on there. It's a TBD. And I kind of lean towards that just because the Dodgers have alternatives to throw in there. So, no, I think no.
I just can't. I just can't.
It's an obvious time, and that's a team to do that, to just throw the guy in the DL and bring him back after the break. And even then, I mean, the prospect that he comes out in the second inning of every game the rest of the year, it's maddening.
We'll get to Johnny Cueto a little bit later. He's set to return from the disabled list today. Any numbers you would like to talk about for the last couple of days? Anybody that did anything that was interesting to you before we move on to other stuff?
I want to have a little fun with trivia on this because of the cool name that Kyle threw on here, Williams Astudillo.
Oh, you know, I know him. I actually know his game. He was a Phillies prospect.
Yep.
He was a catcher, like a short, wide catcher with no power, but he swings at everything, and he doesn't strike out at all. It's amazing what he does.
He's never whiffed even 5% of his trips to the plate in any professional stop in his career. And you want the trivia?
Sure.
Trivia!
It's time for trivia on the Fantasy Focus.
Trivia!
Before this year, so because there is another guy who's sub 5% in terms of the strikeout rate, who was the last player to qualify for the batting title with a sub 5% K rate?
It's like, what, a middle infielder, like, in the 1960s?
It is a middle infielder, not in the 1960s.
I don't know.
It was 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, but it's remarkable that it hasn't happened in 10 years. And it happened, you'd get one or two a year from that point back in all of history. There were a lot of guys who used to do this, and 10 years ago it stopped. And the last guy?
Who?
Was Jeff Kepinger.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Got David Eckstein's, Juan Pierre's.
Yeah, I was thinking of guys like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nobody used to strike out. Now everybody strikes out half the time.
This guy's unusual, though, for that reason.
I don't think Williams Astudillo can matter in fantasy. He doesn't. Maybe he could hit close to 300, but that's no lock. But there's no power here. There's no speed here. He actually at AAA Rochester had 7 home runs and 6 stolen bases. I think he's catcher eligible. So
exactly.
That's how you can make the case in it, but not in a one catcher league. In a multi catcher league, I guess, but there's no guarantee he stays on the team, right? Isn't he replacing somebody who's good? Or when Buxton comes up, he'll probably go down again?
Yeah, he's filling in, my understanding, for Ahiri Adrianza, because he went on the DL back on Monday. So I don't know that this is a locked in role for him necessarily. But hey, AL only teams.
Oh yeah, he should be. Everybody should be rostered there. The guy who's more interesting. Well, a lot of guys are more interesting. But I'm looking at the 7-day player rater, and I was going to write about this guy. I might write about him for tomorrow. Abysel Garcia, you know him well. Yep. We've discussed him. He's hitting for a lot of power since he came off the disabled list. I think he's got 7 home runs in like a week and a half or something crazy like that. Getting a lot of hits, knocking in runs. He's a terrible defender, and he's never going to take a walk. But he hit for average last year, and when I looked at the numbers, I saw a guy who had more power than what he showed last year. So when he hit last year, what, he hit 330 with 18 home runs? I projected that if he played a full season, he could hit like 280 with like 25 home runs. You thought I was crazy for the power. He has 2 walks and 31 strikeouts, which is unbelievable. But what do you think of this guy? Because he's one of the most popular additions in ESPN Standard Leagues.
I mean, if it was 25, I wouldn't have said that was crazy. It's just I feel like his ground ball rate was a little bit too high for my tastes. I like the guy. I don't love the guy. I sort of feel like the current pace by games, other than the homers per at-bats, homers per games played, is a little bit high right now, that pace. I think he's about right. I think he is that 280-ish type of hitter, makes enough contact to get by. You know, he's not a big walker, but he has decent strike zone judgment.
Not a big walker. He's like the worst walker.
No, I know. But the point is, for a guy who walks as infrequently as he does, he's not the worst in terms of, and of course, this year he's got an increased chase rate. So what do I know?
You want to talk about guys not walking?
What do I know?
I just watched 2 games with the Baltimore Orioles. And my God, that team is just horrendous.
Right.
I actually dropped Jonathan Scope in a league. I saw that. I couldn't deal with it anymore.
Yep.
And his salary was a bit high, but still, like, he's showing no signs. Nobody in that offense is. It's just amazing what has happened to Baltimore. Their team BABIP is 271. I can't recall a team BABIP being that bad. Last year it was 306. Is that just luck? Is there something going around the team? Is it their plate approach? I mean, they don't walk at all. I just can't explain it.
And what happens when Machado gets traded?
Well, it doesn't get better.
Think about
why would they not trade Machado? And by the way, his exclamation that he will only play shortstop, he's like the worst shortstop in baseball right now. Nobody wants to talk about that because everybody loves him. I love him, okay?
Yeah.
And he's eligible at short in fantasy, but he's the worst. Now, he could go to another team more, how do I want to say this properly, more enlightened, to shifting and defend and where to place defenders and be a much better defender. I don't think he's this bad of a defender. I mean, you're talking like Jose Offerman, like defensive run saved here. Remember the year that he was like a minus 50 or something? Machado was a minus 20. He's on pace for the worst season ever recorded, I think.
Wow.
Defensively at shortstop.
Yeah. And you all know? The range numbers are pretty poor, too.
Yeah. So, but it might be because he just doesn't care. He's on a 100-loss team. Put him on the Dodgers or the, you know, the Phillies or the Diamondbacks, and he might be elite again. I don't know. It's just Machado's fine. The rest of the team is a mess. What else do we need to get to here? This Max Muncy thing is unbelievable. I'm kicking myself for not going in. I knew who he was. We talked about this on the show. I never thought he would continue to hit for power. I thought he'd be a walker, but not Neil either. Like a guy who takes walks. He's got 20 home runs already.
Yep.
This is unbelievable. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this is legit, Tristan. Like, I know we've done this a couple times already where we said, oh, Brandon Nimmo, he's legit. And he's obviously not now. Max Muncy's not stopping this.
Yeah, I'm at a loss to explain this because I am. I'm sure you are too. I mean,
I am.
It's not an altered launch angle for him. I mean, the launch angle doesn't look like it's far off anywhere it was at any point during his professional career. But the balls weren't clearing the fence in the past in the minor leagues. Line drive rate isn't especially good. It's all fly balls. But the hard contact rate is through the roof. I mean, the guy's got a near 50% hard contact rate. That's absurd.
So it can't continue.
Not to that level, but I mean, he is a legitimate. I mean, at this point, we got to declare him a legitimate power source. I mean, what's the final home run number here?
This guy's going to hit 32 home runs, Tristan.
Well, 32 is not really going too far. That's giving him 12 more. So I don't think that's unreasonable.
I don't think it is either. But like, that's. I think he's going to end up with like 32 home runs. That means it's like. Five a month, you know, the rest of
yeah, I mean, it comes back to like, I mean, does he fall into the Yonder Alonso bin for this year where does he regress pretty severely in the final 2 months?
I don't think he does.
I don't either because of that great walk rate.
I mean, and he bats at the top of a good lineup, a good deep lineup now. It's elite contact. I know what he was, and he's not a young guy by baseball standards, but it all looks really legitimate to me. I just can't believe we're talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, I love the walk rate, and I love the fly ball rate. I mean, it's a good combination. The other thing, too, by the way, two games away from a second base eligibility, which would be a nice thing adding first, third, and second.
It's always nice when you have the multi-eligibility. As a guy who's bidding on Derek Dietrich in the league right now, I can tell you, yes, it'd be nice to be able to move him around. It's just amazing to me that every year we got a guy or two like this. I mean, Yonder Alonso, Logan Morrison, they'd been around. You know, they had power that we thought could come out. Well, Alonso didn't, but Alonso changed something.
They were considered prospects.
They were, yeah, but what Muncy's doing is just unbelievable.
Right. Muncy, by the way, is torching fastballs this year. That's the major change.
So why are they still throwing them fastballs? Like, a month ago I was thinking, why would pitchers continue to attack Max Muncy the same way? And they still are. Why?
I don't know. I look at all of his pitch breakdowns, and I mean, he's torching changeups too.
Do you realize he's doing a lot better than Corey Seager would have? And I don't mean that in a mean way, but like the Dodgers, you know, want sympathy for losing Seager and Kershaw. Seager wasn't doing this. He didn't have a 400 on base, and how many homers did he hit all of last year? Did he hit more than 20? I mean, it's amazing what's happening here.
This is incredible that he only has 38 RBI and 20 home runs.
Well, he bats like first or second a lot.
Right,
Seager
right.
Didn't hit. Seager hit 22 all of last year.
But, I mean, if he comes down to terms of the home run rate, do the Dodgers use him in more run-producing spots going forward?
They need
forward?
To. Yeah. I mean, Bellinger's safe. Kemp is legit.
Yeah.
All right, moving
Muncy,
on.
Muncy would lead baseball by 29 points in isolated power if he qualified.
Yeah.
It's... Ridiculous.
I saw the other day he was like fifth in slugging percentage, but didn't have enough. But how can you be like one home run off a league lead, but not qualified in slugging percentage? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's only got like 230 plate appearances.
I know, but right.
He'll catch up.
How could
the
guy who could lead the league in home runs not qualify for the batting title or slugging percentage?
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah, we need to change these qualifications.
A lot of things are just awful in baseball. I love it, but let's get some sound in here of the combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal! Combo! Combo! It's a combo meal! Home run plus steal!
So, in one of my leagues, I paid an ungodly amount to get D. Gordon and a keeper that I'm already out of for this year. I'm not going to win this year. And the reason I did it is because I'm last in steals by a lot. I looked at my roster of keepers, and, you know, some of them run a little bit, but I was just like, I feel differently than I used to. If you can get a guy who steals a lot of bases, go get him. And if you're out of your league for that year, you're not going to be able to win. So, like, it was like Syndergaard was in that deal, Arrieta. Now, there's contracts here at play as well. But I paid a lot for D. Gordon, who's really not a good player. Like, his OPS is terrible, but he steals bases. Ender Inciarte is now currently leading, tied for the Major League lead in stolen bases. He has 23 of them. He's not hitting for average. The power from last year hasn't stayed. He's scoring runs again because he's leading off again. Ender Inciarte might lead the majors in steals this year. More than Gordon, more than Turner. Billy the Fast Guy can't get on base. He has an arm.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's Inciarte is a big surprise.
He is, although it is kind of a damning statement on the state of stolen bases in baseball.
But not really. Like, these guys are on pace for 40, though.
And at 40s. Like, that's for a major league lead, that's
50.
Awful.
That's awful. But we still might have more guys steal 40 bases this year than last. We just don't have the high end.
Yes,
guys.
We don't have the. Yeah, that's right. We don't have the 60 plus guys that we used to have.
I don't know
why
Gordon doesn't run more.
Inciarte does deserve, and he has the whole year, a lot more credit for his skill set than people have been giving. And this has been going on for well over a calendar year at this point. I don't think he's going to ever be better than a 40 steal kind of guy at the high end, but I do think he's getting there.
This is why I think Jose Ramirez might be the most valuable player in fantasy other than Trout. 24 homers, 17 steals. There's six guys with more stolen bases than Jose Ramirez. One of them has an on-base percentage better than .316. One of them.
Yeah.
Just Trey Turner. That's the only one.
Yep.
I mean, there's nobody. Like, these guys, like, Turner's obviously great. He's rosterable. But some of these guys.
Ramirez, by the way, look at the walk-to-K rate, too. I mean, he does everything.
He's amazing. He's going to win MVP.
He might, yeah.
All right, so Ender Inciarte had one of them, and the other one was Josh Reddick. Any thoughts on Reddick? I mean, he is kind of what he is, right? Nothing special.
Reddick is a very serviceable player who I believe is a little better for the points leaguers just because of the good plate approach.
Let's talk about the relievers. It's the closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
So Kyle writes here in the note, could you argue that Edwin Diaz is a fantasy MVP candidate? And I would never even consider any closer a fantasy MVP candidate, even like the Zach Britton season where he didn't allow any runs. I mean,
you closer hater.
No, I can't do it. I mean, it's so
easy. You
are
a closer hater.
It's so easy to get saves on free agency, Tristan. I mean, there's still a bunch of guys right now that are available in half of leagues. Kyle Bearclough, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Atlanta's guy, Hector Rondon, who's still getting saves for Houston, although they're not getting save chances. Giles had the save last night. They had like one save chance in 3 weeks because when they win by 5 runs.
I do think it requires a greater level of attention this year to get those quality arms that you mentioned, and I would say that it is harder to get the quality saves off the waiver wire than it was in the past.
It's quality saves, yeah, but I don't ever care about quality saves. I just care about the saves. I mean, I rostered Todd Jones for years. I'm saying Edwin Diaz might end up as the number one closer in fantasy. He might beat out Kimbrough and Kenley Jansen and whoever else because he's going to get the most saves. But also, Seattle can't continue to do this, winning every game by one run. That rarely continues for 6 months.
They also, I don't think they can use him to the level they have. As a matter of fact, one of the great ways to represent this was, wasn't it Nicasio? Who's the other dude? Got a fill-in save when neither Diaz nor Colomé was available.
You know, it happens.
But they're going to have to watch the workloads. That's the thing that strikes me about Seattle.
I think that's weird. When you say that, watching the workload. Like, Edwin Diaz is not capable of 80 innings? Why?
It's 84 games, 84 innings.
Why is he not capable of doing that? Because he's never done it before?
He's the guy who 2 years ago admitted that he fatigued down the stretch when he was overused. The first year when he was switched to relief
pitching.
Wouldn't
he be stronger 2 weeks, 2 years later?
I would hope so, but then why are the Mariners saying we're keeping an eye on his workload?
Well, I mean, they should keep every team should keep an eye on every closer's workload. I mean, you don't think Madden's doing that with Morrow or Wade Davis and Coors?
But now you're playing both sides of it. Either they can do it or they cannot do it.
Well, I don't know, but I'm not assuming no. Like the reason that I would
want to assume
the reason
no.
I would trade away Edwin Diaz for Blake Trinan and a good hitter is because I do it every year. The saves matter the same amount. Maybe you're not getting as many strikeouts or as great an ERA, but that's the obvious move for me every year is to trade a top five closer for a non-top five closer and something else. And Diaz, to me, is an obvious sell-high guy.
Okay, and the lowest
you're,
you
you're
will go.
Selling because you don't think he can stay healthy. I'm selling because I don't think he's going to get 60 saves.
I want to hear the lowest you'd go on that closer chain, because this is the key for this year. Is I don't think you could drop down to 20th of the position in a trade like this. I think you're dropping to 12th.
I think it depends on the bat. But, I mean, like, would I consider trading away Edwin Diaz for Kyle Bearclaw and name a hitter, you know, Javier Baez, you know, Eugenio Suarez in a second? I would do that in a second.
For Suarez and Bearclaw.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, Kyle Bearclaw is not going to get as many saves as Edwin Diaz on a terrible team. But he can get 4 or 5 saves a month, and he has good run prevention.
He might get traded.
All right, he might. I mean, so
that's a big risk, and Diaz will not.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? We're going to be doing a show in 4 weeks, and we're going to say that two of these closers got traded. There's no place for these guys to go to close. All the contending teams have closers, and Phillies are not trading for Zach Britton or Kyle Bearclaw. All the contending teams have their guys. The American League's set. I mean, all the playoff teams are set there.
Cleveland.
Oh, come on. Cody Allen's not losing. Cody Allen's their all-time save leader.
I know, but Bearclaw, they could use a guy like that.
He would set up in a minute. No way he would displace him.
And that's a bad reason. Bad for trading for him, then.
Okay, that's fair. I think I would take my chances.
There are a decent number of players like this. I think, Shane Green is on the DL, granted, but he was a guy who was on the trade block. Blake Trinan himself, I know the A's are talking about not trading him, but that's a possibility. Bearclaw, we
have mentioned
already.
I think Brad Hand, if the Padres are smart, they would deal him as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and
is
I
why
think
I would get Kirby Yates right now.
All of these guys, I think, are in pretty severe danger of being only setup men.
I have a real quick question for you guys, because I was curious when you guys mentioned Edwin Diaz's workload. And then you mentioned Trinan specifically, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They have about the same number of innings.
I know.
But Trinan has 10 fewer appearances. Which one worries you more if you're looking at a workload in a pitcher like that? Does it matter? Or is one more worrisome than the other to you?
The only reason that Diaz is more worrisome to me than Trinan is because he's less experienced. And we don't know that he can do it. Trinan, we've seen for years, is able to handle a workload. He's able to go more than 3 outs at a time. Diaz just does not use that. So I feel much safer with Trinan and staying healthy than Diaz. But that said, I don't think Diaz is going to get hurt. He just might be used a little bit more carefully. Especially the other thing, Tristan and Leo, like if Seattle has an 8-game lead in 2 months, there's no way Edwin Diaz will pitch every day.
Well, right. He'll have one of those mystery 10-day DL stints.
Right. I mean, why wouldn't you? Like as long as Oakland and the Angels can't make this a closer second wild card race, I don't know why anybody would even bother. Like, Seattle might even sit Nelson Cruz once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know that they're going to put him on the DL. I don't think it's that. I think it could end up being the Brandon Morrow, Wade Davis treatment with the Cubs, where he went 10, he just went 10 days without pitching. I mean, Wade Davis last year, if you look at the way he was used by the Cubs, that's the way they could look at Edwin Diaz if they get their playoff spot locked down.
I think Morrow is a sell-high guy, too.
The Yankees just been doing that with Chapman all season? Just like going a week without pitching him?
Who's at your door, Tristan? Somebody at your door?
What?
Somebody knocking on your door?
Opportunity. Blake Trinan, by the way, 72 appearances, 75 2/3 innings last year.
All right, briefly here. Save guys, yay or nay? Tyler Clippard.
I gotta lean nay.
I mean, 4 weeks of saves and then Asuna's back.
And they've said that Asuna's going to close when he's eligible again in August.
Bud Norris, yay or nay?
I want to say yay, but that injury that he admitted to.
Jordan Hicks is taking this job before mid-August.
Yeah, I've been stashing Hicks everywhere, and a lot of it has to do with the starting pitching, relief pitching eligibility leagues.
I like that.
I have a points league where that has a huge impact.
Will Smith, yay or nay? Talked about him on Monday, Fresh Prince.
I'm nay on that team.
I think Sam Dyson probably gets the next save chance anyway.
Nay there. yay there.
I think he's safe now.
I like Parker.
But Joe Jimenez, I think he might keep this job even when Green comes back.
Even after that terrible outing the other day?
It wasn't very good. He walked nobody for 3 months, and then he walked everybody in one game.
I'm a yay on Jimenez.
Let's take a look at the schedule here. Not a whole lot of games on Thursday, but there is one on ESPN+. It's the Angels and the Mariners. The Angels, I don't want to say they're running out of time, but you know, when you're down 8 games in the standings, you got to make up games when you play head-to-head. The Phillies knew this against the Nationals. That's why they went up to all stops to win that series.
Otani will get it done for him.
You know what? Let's bring him up. He's not going to pitch again this season, I don't think.
I don't either.
And I don't think, like, if he's in the lineup today against the lefty Marco Gonzalez, I would not use him. He's terrible against lefties. Now, it's a small sample, and maybe they have nothing better to use. But I wouldn't use Ohtani against lefties. He looks like a platoon hitter to me. A really good one.
And I think he'll be used as a platoon hitter not starting against lefties. I don't anticipate him being in the lineup.
So Marco Gonzalez, who it took me a while to come around on, he's starting against Jaime Barria, who should stick in the L.A. rotation at least. Nothing special. Barria's not a top 60 starter.
You're not going to read Kyle's cherry-picking stat on him?
Let me see what it's.
Sorry, Kyle. I got to point out it is cherry-picking.
Right. I'll cherry-pick all day.
Go ahead. Cherry-pick.
This is on Barria?
No, I'm Marco Gonzalez.
All right, he struggled at New York and Boston, but has otherwise been elite since the middle of May. Removed those two starts, and he's 5-0 with a 1.33 ERA and a 0.95 WHIP. I mean, what does that tell us? That tells us
he's a streamer.
Everybody struggles against the Yankees and Red Sox, though. Isn't
Not everybody.
How can you call Gonzalez a streamer if he's good against everybody except the two elite offenses?
Because you're still sitting him against the tough matchup, which means he's streaming and not in every start.
But
Jacob
DeGrom's
in every start.
I'm not calling Marco Gonzalez a top 40 starting pitcher by any means. I'm just saying, like, to me, like, he's probably more than a streamer if you're only sitting him against the Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros, which is pretty much what you're doing now. You're not sitting him against anybody else in any other park except Coors.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And in my AL onlys, I am starting him even against teams like that, hoping that the natural skill comes through.
To be fair, there are two Rays starts and a Royals start in that sample, so I'm sure that we can.
I mean, the Royals are historically awful offensively. When they lose Moustakas, like Moustakas maybe ends up a Philly or another team. Like that offense, I don't know how they're going to ever score a run. At least the Orioles have named guys who've done it before. Trumbo had a 40-homer season. Chris Davis had a 50.
Sal Perez could hit 12 solo homers in the second half.
He's been terrible in the last month.
Right.
He's been, like, not worth
I didn't
rostering.
Mention the other 250 plate appearances, just the 12 solo home runs.
So Johnny Cueto has made 5 starts this season. Tell me how many more he makes the rest of the season.
I lean towards him staying healthy. I'll say
Why?
He makes 11.
Why do you lean that way? It was an elbow injury that was not fixed surgically.
I know.
I believe in this at all. And your window to sell is about 10 hours. Well, it is, right? I mean, like, as soon as he starts, it all changes. If he pitches well, it changes the everything.
I see, it's easy for me to just throw a random number at Cueto because I don't have any shares and I haven't in a while.
I don't have no shares either.
I mean, that says something. The fact that neither of us are investing and didn't at the beginning of the year when things looked more positive. But I feel like Cueto is going to, if he's healthy enough, he's going to make each and every start through the end of the year.
Friday on ESPN Plus, it's big Bartolo Colon and Jordan Zimmermann. They were interesting like 7 years ago. They're not so interesting anymore. Who is interesting? All right, Sonny Gray. What do you do with him? He's at Toronto on Friday. I don't know what to do. I have him in an Otto league, and I'm benching him.
Yeah, and in a league like that where you have an innings cap, most certainly I'd be sitting him. I'd be sitting him for the majority of the starts. I don't like what I've seen. The command has never been good at any point this year. He was awful in that Boston game. I mean, the command was just a mess. I'm a no.
Freddy Peralta, Milwaukee at home on Friday against Mike Foltynewicz, a guy who just keeps pitching well.
Yeah.
Now, they're all like, they all seem to be like 5-inning outings. But Foltynewicz is striking everybody out. He's not giving up any runs. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the worst part of that matchup is just that it's in the homer-friendly ballpark. But his stuff is so good, and his track record this year has been so good. Absolutely would start him.
Peralta's last outing, he gave up 3 in the first to Cincinnati, and the bases were loaded with nobody out, and then he struck out the side and didn't give up anything. How good is Peralta? Could you make a case for Peralta over Foltynewicz the rest of the season?
No. But
not yet.
No, not yet. For me, it's Foltynewicz in this matchup, and the main reason why is that Atlanta does lean as one of the best contact teams in the game, and Peralta's totally a play for Ks.
You have one spot, Peralta or Bieber. They're all rostered in each about 60% of leagues.
We're locking in, you mean?
Rest of the season, you can only have one.
Bieber.
Yeah, I agree. I think Peralta has good strikeout potential, but Bieber has an elite chance at WHIP. Although Bieber could be like David Bush. He would just allow so many hits.
Yep.
But, like, I feel like Bieber's going to end up with, like, a 380 ERA and a 1.09 WHIP.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to match up.
I wonder whether he'll turn into Brad Totally Radke.
I think he's got more K potential.
I hope so. And I think that he might well. Remember that Radke did K a handful of guys earlier in his career.
The most added pitcher is actually Zach Eflin of Philadelphia. Since I'm a Phillies fan, I'll let you speak. Are you buying?
No, I mean, for one thing, he's got that injury that might push him back a day into the doubleheader Monday.
It's a blister.
I don't like blisters.
I just want to point out, I do not. I don't get them.
You've never gotten a blister?
I'm sure I have at some point in my life when I wasn't ever drinking a cup of coffee. I don't know. I mean, I don't get blisters on my hands.
The first time I ever went golfing, I got a blister.
I get blisters on my feet from running. Like when I ran 5Ks, I was getting a lot of blisters, but I don't get them on my hands from playing softball.
You got to use no batting gloves on the wood bat.
I use batting gloves and an aluminum bat. anyway,
exactly the opposite.
I think you might be missing something on Zach Eflin because we look at his past seasons and you think there's nothing there, but he's turned into a strikeout guy and he got his knees fixed in the offseason. He had knee problems. I think it's kind of legit. Actually, I think I'd take him over Pivetta and Velasquez. I think he's the Phillies
number
three.
Okay.
Because Pivetta still walks people. I mean, Zach Eflin looks legitimate to me. Pivetta still scares me a little bit. That's on Friday. Pivetta is on Friday at Pittsburgh. That's a pretty good spot to use him. What else? Felix Hernandez at home against Colorado? Nah, you know, I don't have any interest, but people still roster him.
Not really that interesting. I mean, I think it's okay. I don't think it's
Skipping Saturday, I don't see much here to the Sunday night baseball on ESPN. It's Alex Wood of the Dodgers against Andrew Heaney of the Angels. A couple lefties here, and Heaney, I was cursing having him active for his last outing where he gave up three in the first inning, but then he was fine and he struck people out. So it was weird. I want to roster Heaney. I think there's something there. But, like, Sean Manaea has kind of been, like, all over. You know, like, these lefties, it's hard to tell sometimes.
Going against the Dodgers, I'm a little worried with the matchup. Alex Wood's pitched a little bit better lately, too. It's another thing that catches my eye here is that it's going to be tough for Heaney to lock in a win in this game.
I don't ever think that.
Why? Yeah, you do in the daily games.
I do in the daily games, but like I don't look at this and say, oh, well, the Dodgers are going to win this game. I wouldn't use Andrew Heaney for that reason.
No, but I think that when we break down
there's
that
other
individual
pitchers that have a better shot to win the game, like Eflin's at Pittsburgh, I would say he has a better shot to win than Heaney does. But...
Okay. Yeah, my point is that if you're breaking down that individual game, I think you do have to look that far. If I'm looking at the two against each other, I think Wood is a little bit of an advantage here, but I think you're starting both without much doubt in any league you have them.
What do you need to see from Wade LeBlanc of Seattle to get interested?
His season just drives me up the wall. I mean, he's had a couple of I know he had the Red Sox game where he just got blasted.
But that happens to a lot of pitchers against them.
But beyond that, give me the game where he's gone deep. I mean, I want the guy that I think is consistently getting the quality
starts.
Last
seven innings against the Angels. Seven innings, three hits. You know,
okay, I'm digging up. I'm digging up past 10 in the past. Okay, in the past seven outings.
I don't buy this either to this degree, but the guy has pitched 79 innings.
Wow, what a brutal schedule.
K rate is okay. He hasn't lost the game yet. He's on a good team. I don't know why. Like, I'm not saying this is the pitcher version of Max Muncy, but if Wade LeBlanc finished with a 3.50 ERA, I don't think I'd be that surprised.
I know what this reminds me of. This is the pitching version of Jason Vargas. How does that make you feel long term?
Well, awful.
Because Vargas was very good last year.
For a while, he was very good.
He was very, very good.
Come on.
He was exceptional in the first. I know in the first 2 months he was exceptional. Right. Last year.
That doesn't make me want to.
But that's what I mean. Like LeBlanc's performance this year reminds me of that, of a guy who's making the absolute best of everything. It's all clicking, and I'm terrified that at any moment you're gonna be left holding the bag.
Well, nobody wants to do that. I'm not optimistic, but I think a 3.50 ERA sounds fair, and I like this matchup. Today's hash browns are brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring, every business needs great people, and a better way to find them, something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. Well, ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you are looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter does not stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, listeners to the Fantasy Focus Baseball can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel because ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire.
And through the 4th of July last year, Vargas was 12-3 with a 2.22 ERA.
It's not a good second half.
Holy moly.
It was not a good second half.
It was such a bad second half, I had no idea that it was that good of a first half.
I don't like saying that because LeBlanc is lefty and has a checkered history, he's going to do what Vargas did in the second half. I don't like doing that.
I don't either. I also don't like the fact that he just doesn't miss bats. And lefties who don't miss bats, so go by finesse. They scare me long term.
I don't disagree with that. His FIP is 397, so it's not a total fluke what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of believe him. I'm not saying you should just go dump him. It's just...
It's actually a little reverse here. All right. I don't think LeBlanc's rostered in that many leagues. Let me check here. But
Probably not.
I can't believe he's that popular. All right, we got questions?
Sure do. Thumbs Up Fantasy wants to know if the Brandon Nimmo orange is all the way juiced. Who are some high upside options that you'd move Nimmo for in a deeper format?
I hate that this happened so quickly, and I wonder if it's... Didn't he have a finger injury or something? And he had to miss some games?
Yeah, he was day-to-day at some point in the past two weeks.
I think he's clearly hurt, and they just don't have anybody else that can play. Because what he was doing, like...
Pinky.
He still has a 974 OPS against Rangers.
Does it coincide with the pinky injury? I'm going to see if I can trace it back to the day.
It absolutely does.
June.
Last 2 weeks, he's batting like 180.
Looks like June 24th.
He's striking out a ton. He probably needs a DL stint.
Yeah,
he wasn't going to keep doing what he was doing no matter what. But they don't... First of all, they're run awful. Terribly. Okay? And their rookie manager's having a lot of problems that nobody outside New York cares about, but... I mean, whether it's who they have on the roster, how they're using them, these starters, like, I just don't think they have anybody else to DL Nimmo.
Wow. And he's past eight good. Games, 087 batting average, 353 on base. That's since the pinky injury itself. In the month of June before that, he had played 20 games, 280 average, 925 OPS.
Look, you can say we're wrong. We believed in Nimmo and we're wrong, but I think it's an injury that did it.
I didn't believe in Nimmo.
You thought he was going to bat 080 for the next 2 weeks?
No, but I just didn't. I mean,
I didn't believe in the power. I thought the on-base skills were legitimate.
I've been raked over the coals over Brandon Nimmo over the past month, and I admit that I think there's going to be another up point for him this year, so I'm not ready to panic. But he was not a top 100 player, and he shouldn't, and he won't be the rest of the year.
I mean, you want Avisel Garcia. You want Aaron Hicks.
You think Garcia's clearly ahead of Nimmo? I think they're in... somewhat similar tiers.
Then you really don't like Garcia. I mean, you just ripped Nimmo for the last 2 minutes, and now you're saying you don't even like Garcia better.
No. Well, there were people declaring Nimmo the new Michael Conforto, and that was, to me, on the high end, a top 75 overall player.
I'm pretty sure I do not have Nimmo in my top 100.
No, I know, but I know that there was a feeling out there from the fantasy community that we should get very excited about Brandon Nimmo, and I understand we're chasing a hot streak, but...
Right, so move on. Move on from Nimmo is the third most dropped outfielder, and I can't really argue right now. I'll tell you who I would add, and I still see something there. Maybe not a ton of power, but every time I watch Jesse Winker play, this is a guy who I think about 300 with 20 home runs. I really think that. Like, he has such good plate discipline. Look at what he did in June. He batted over 300 with power.
You've talked to him, too. He's a smart dude.
Smart guy. He plays fantasy football from Buffalo.
Of course that makes him smart.
I'm just saying... It's not because I talked to him. Jesse Winker had an elite walk rate as a minor leaguer. He knows what pitches to swing at.
Yep.
The Reds need to just leave him alone and play him in left field every day and bat him second. That's what I would, if you want to bat him third and you don't want to split the lefties. First of all, just lead him off. Why is Jose Peraza leading off? I mean, Winker gets on base.
Yeah.
Peraza needs to bat eighth or ninth. I think if you just left Jesse Winker alone for 500 plate appearances, he would bat 300 with like a 390 on base. And I think he could hit 20 home runs.
I agree. I actually think it would be well of the Reds to get some sort of hitting coach or assistant or the like to work with him on the launch angle. Could you imagine this guy with being a launch angle project over the next year?
He can hit.
He could give up some batting average, go 280, 25. I wouldn't be surprised by that with a very high on base.
You have any interest in Cam Broxton? I can't believe he's in on the roster in a week.
Did you say he has 10 defensive run saves in what, amazing. 8 games?
He's jumped over the fence twice. And by the way, that would have been a blown save yesterday for Corey Knebel. We would have been talking about him today.
I really don't believe. I think he's got a place as a fourth or fifth outfielder for somebody, but that's the wrong team for it.
Gorkys Hernandez has 11 home runs, Tristan.
Yeah.
He hit nary a one last year. Like, he's still hitting.
Is he hitting like he did a month ago, though?
No. He gets like one hit every game. So it's like a 250 hitter.
He's a 250 and three homers a month guy.
Randall Grichuk, anything there?
Yeah, he's got some pop.
I mean, I feel like Randall Grichuk could legitimately hit 205 for the season.
Does Grichuk get up there with Nimmo and Garcia?
No. I think Garcia is better than you do. I think Garcia could legitimately hit 280 with 25 home runs. I think Nimmo will be after Garcia. Grichuk obviously has more power, like raw power, than Nimmo does.
I agree with you a lot more than you think. I don't think you're crazy on the Garcia projection. I looked at the plate discipline numbers, and I feel like an idiot now.
All right, that's been the Brandon Nimmo segment of Hash Browns. We have time for any others?
Oh, goodness.
Good friend of the show, me and Sarah Jane. Oh, yeah. Worried about Daniel Murphy. He went 1-for-2 last night to up his average to 200 for the season. How long does he have to keep struggling before we call it a lost season?
I'm buying. No, I'm buying here. Look, the way they're treating him, his knees are not 100% or even close to it. They're playing him at first base occasionally. He can't keep doing that because they need more offense or losing every game. But I still think Murphy is a good enough hitter to overcome this. I think he could hit 10 more home runs and bat close to 300 the rest of the year. Now, is he a must roster in a 10-team league? In a points league, yes. In a Roto 10-teamer, is he a must roster? I still think Paul DeJong comes off the DL today of St. Louis. Wouldn't you take Murphy over DeJong still?
Probably.
Starlin Castro is available in half of leagues. I mean, Castro plays every day.
I take Murphy over Castro.
Castro is going to score runs.
You're very optimistic about Murphy here, and this is what scares me about it. Is Murphy for you Michael Brantley's 2016 for me?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the problem here is, that's not a problem, actually.
It is a very big problem.
Well, no, the knees are a problem for Daniel Murphy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he can still hit 300 in his sleep even with one knee. I feel like he can still hit. He's not striking out. He's got plate discipline. He can still fake his way to some power. He's going to have to play because they're not running away with the NL East. In fact, they may not even make the playoffs. They look terrible. So, they wouldn't just sit him. Like, if they were 10 games up, like Cleveland. Cleveland's going to sit Brantley half of September. Why risk it? They're going to have the Division One, and they're not going to be the number one seed. So, but Murphy, they can't do that. I still think Murphy can hit 300 with 12 homers the rest of the way.
I want to believe it. It's just that the contact quality has plummeted.
It's like 2 weeks of at-bats.
So. I know it's 2 weeks of at-bats, but so far it looks like a different player affected by injury. And I refuse to ignore my... I mean, this was a big lesson for me. It was the Brantley issue of 2016. And it's why... I mean, you know, you mentioned football before. Tyler Eifert. I'm not going near the guys who I know had major injuries coming into a season.
No way I would compare him to Eifert, but okay.
The year he came off that huge touchdown year and then he had a surgery, everybody was...
Eifert's hurt all the time. Murphy played 140 games plus the last couple
of years. Do you remember Eifert's 13, what was it, 12 or 13 touchdowns?
I remember it all too well, and I think that's an unfair comp. Eifert is always hurt, and Murphy played 144 games the last two seasons.
At the time, he was healthy, Eifert. I'm talking about the healthy point of his year, where this began the chain, and that's what Brantley hit.
All right.
I want to be with you on Murphy. I think he absolutely could hit 300 with 12 homers. I don't think you're wrong there. But what if?
All right, me and Sarah Jane, we had a special thing going. What else?
And you partly answered the next question. Porter Case Taylor wants you to name 5 players, hopefully a few hitters and or pitchers, that are universally rostered that you would look to trade for now before their value escalates in the second half.
Players that trade for? I don't know if Murphy's that. I'm not that excited about Murphy. Though.
You said he could hit 300 sleeping with one knee. That's
anyone who has
the skill set.
Anyone who has him is going to agree with our assessment of 312.
A lot of risk, but, I mean, when I'm trading 4 players, you know, trading for guys with one knee is tough. Let me look and see.
The perceived value is going to be very high on Daniel Murphy. I don't think I agree. I don't think that's the.
I mean,
good
I'd buy low, but I don't know if Murphy investors are selling low.
Right. This could be a good opportunity to buy in on Jose Abreu, by the way.
It's a great time to buy on him. Like basically anybody who struggled in June, buy on Chris Bryant. He comes off the DL any day now. He's going to be fine, I think. I think top 100 players who have a track record, if their managers are saying, well, you know, I'm sick of Jose Abreu. I don't know why anybody would do that. But, like, I'm trying to think of a player who, like, George Springer's in a terrible slump. But is George Springer's manager in fantasy selling?
Right.
I don't think so.
I mean, either.
Why would the Chris Bryant? I have Chris Bryant in a league. No chance I'm selling. Like, unless I'm getting Goldschmidt or, you know, Trey Turner.
Ooh, I remember one from the show with AJ last week. Kyle, you dug this up, the Tommy Pham cold streak stats. Give me some Tommy Pham. Apparently, people do not believe in him anywhere near as much as I do.
Why do people not believe in him? Like, I don't see that.
Kyle, weren't the stats like he was 0 for the month?
He had a bad month.
No, that's...
Maybe he couldn't see people for the month. I don't know.
Justin Turner.
Are you buying on... I just don't think power. Are you buying on AJ Pollock? That might be a guy you could get a little bit less... His manager might be thinking, oh, he can't stay healthy. I might be thinking he can't stay healthy.
I like Turner better than Pollock, but I'd bite.
Pollock was putting up Pollock was a top 10 player when he got hurt. When he tore his knee.
Right.
That was an avulsion fracture, by the way. I wish I'd seen it.
You wish you had seen it?
Oh yeah.
Oh jeez. You like watching videos of injuries?
No, I don't like doing it, but I don't shy away. I had an injury like that, so I like
Marge, you made me miss Joe Theismann.
I've seen that a lot. Like, you see the mangled hand of that Giants, JPP?
Oh, don't.
Don't do fireworks.
Don't.
Sean Livingston's still the worst injury I've ever seen. Him and Willis McGahee were two bad ones.
Oh, who's the goalie in hockey?
Oh, the Islanders goalie, yeah.
Yeesh.
Malarchuk. No, that was sick.
The fact that he made the recovery from it was...
Which twin are you more likely to buy low on, Buxton or Sano? Or neither?
I'll buy low on Buxton because his top-level skills help you more. You?
Yeah. Sano really ain't doing it in the minors either. Like, I thought for sure Sano would go to single A. They'd work with him, and he'd figure it all out. It doesn't look like that's happening, does it?
Yeah, and he has nowhere to play if he's not hitting.
He's not hitting for power. Like, his numbers in single A. Now, first of all, he should be dominating single A. He's played 10 games there. And batting .333 with 6 walks and 11 Ks with only one home run and only one double.
So this is what gets me about Sano. You and I were at the game in AAA where he was playing in the rehab stint. You watched him in BP. You were saying a lot of positive things about him. I saw him play his first game back off the DL in Minneapolis. He looked great, hitting for power. BP, no problem. What happened?
Look, if you told me that Miguel Sano hits 15 home runs the rest of the season in the majors, I wouldn't be shocked. Like, he has so much raw power. Mm-hmm. You know, like, but he's more like Mark Trumbo than we thought. Like, nobody ever compared those two before, but if Mark Trumbo hits 15 home runs the rest of the season, I won't be surprised. In fact, I almost expect him to do so. Mm-hmm. I think Mark Trumbo is going to hit 15 home runs.
Okay.
Readily available.
He'll play a lot.
Should play every day. He'll move up in the lineup. But, I can't really invest in some... I still got to know in a couple leagues, and I'm starting to wonder why.
You know, two names on the baseball reference, similar career points, comps for Sano, Jesse Barfield and Pete Incaviglia.
What a shame. Sano could have been great. What
Pep
else?
Pep Burrell's on there, too.
Well, Pep Burrell had a long career. He won a World Series.
Three true outcomes, yeah.
We've got one last question from Gordon. He wants to know what your updated outlook on Gerrit Cole is. Near 2 ERA through the end of May... Up to almost 4 since then. Is the latter more what to expect the rest of the way?
Yeah, weird. Did not pitch all that well at Texas yesterday. Early runs, a lot of hits. Walk rate is up over the past couple weeks. Had a 5 walk game against Tampa Bay. He had a game against the Royals that he won. He went only 5. Did he leave early for injury in that game? I'm trying to remember.
I don't believe so.
Why do you only go five? No, just threw a lot of pitches. Oh, he threw a ton of pitches in that game. So he hasn't been as efficient of late. Did anybody expect him to have a 205 year rate for 6 months? I don't think so. He's now up to 270, and his FIP is 316. Been a little fortunate with the BABIP. K rate's still dominant. I mean, I don't think I have him in my top 10 starters, but he just missed. Still, I mean, do I have concerns? No. Do you?
Not really.
Now, I mean, hit rate is a little out of line. I mean, like, to have only 75 hits allowed in 116 and two-thirds innings.
Well, the BABIP on that.
Yeah, that's BABIP.
He is in my top 10, but one of the reasons was just because a lot of those guys ended up with the, you know, Carlos Carrasco types ended up on the DL, so there was some question about the injury and workload.
Cole right now is the number six fantasy starter for the season after the big three, because Kershaw's out, plus Severino, Verlander. Cole's six. By the way, I have Severino in my top four right now. And I in this like second round, too. So Cole's the number six starter, but I would trade him like straight up for Aaron. I would rather have Aaron Nola. Would I rather have DeGrom? Yes. That's a tough one, though. Would you rather have Charlie Morton than Cole? No.
I like James the two you
Paxton.
Picked. I like the two you picked, but I have him in the tier.
What about Paxton?
I'd rather have Cole.
What about Blake Snell? AJ ripped Snell the other day. Trevor Bauer?
That's a good one. I personally would lean to Cole.
I lean towards Cole, but, you know, Bauer's got better numbers.
Right, yeah. I mean, and, you know, the similar things with Nolan and DeGrom. I mean, in DeGrom's case, you have to consider the wins. It's one of the five categories.
Yeah, but you don't think that DeGrom is going to continue. Like, he's been so unlucky that I don't even consider the fact that he's going to consider this rate. That's ridiculous. That's such a low rate of wins per good start. If you
keep pitching
that well, you're not going to lose every outing.
You just did a show with AJ. He's a Mets fan. Didn't he give you the DeGrom spiel? He's like, DeGrom will go 12 innings and still find a way not to get a win.
But that's not realistic. My point is, if you have a good outing every time out, you're not going to keep getting no decisions or losses. It can't happen that way. It's very unlikely.
Yeah, Shelby Miller, that Braves year. There usually is one or two guys. Cole Hamels had one with the Phillies. You should remember that one.
What's happened to DeGrom in the past month is hardly predictive to me, except the good numbers.
Right.
I would absolutely trade for DeGrom. I would.
I know. I don't know that I'd give up Cole to do it. By the way, Cole, fastball velocity not down. The only thing that's different that I've seen is the breaking pitches. He's eased off a little bit in the past 3 to 4 starts. And I've said many times the breaking pitches are the home run for him.
All right. Any other thoughts here as we head into another weekend? First weekend of July, getting late. A bunch of my leagues, Tristan, like, are over.
Really?
Just like Labor NL looks over.
What's the lead right now in that?
It's at least 10. I don't even look anymore every day.
How can you not look if it's only 10?
Well, because I'm not 10 behind. I'm like 20 behind.
Oh.
But the problem is, like, there's just been no movement in that league the entire season.
You got to shake it up then.
There's no way to shake it up.
When again, the AL where it's like 2.5 points separate first to seventh.
This league looks like, maybe I'm wrong, maybe somebody catches the guy, but our office league, doesn't that still look over to you? You're in second. You still have a shot at showing.
I think I can catch
it. Tristan's been in this exact spot behind me the past 2 years in that league, and he's won both times. So it is not over by any means.
Right, that's why Tristan wins league.
I don't know, though. It's Davey in first. I got to be nice to him, so... Sorry, Leo.
We're done for the first week of July. Thank you so much for listening to our little show, and continue to listen. We will be back on Monday, the same gang probably. So for the gang, I am Eric. Have an awesome weekend.
Everything is awesome.
Darkness.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more great podcasts, log on to the iTunes Music Store or Pod Center at ESPNRadio.com.